All right, title of my message, as you can see, is Be a Champion Sheep. One of my favourite passages in the Bible. And before we get there, thanks, Ryan. But before we get there, I just want to say how proud I am and how proud we can be of C3 Wellard. We had a funeral yesterday at C3 Wellard for one of our members who suddenly and unexpectedly passed away. And her name was Alison Hewkin, a long-term member of C3 Hepburn Heights that used to be Shiloh and ended up at C3 Wellard. She was basically did everything for a Supreme Court judge. The Supreme Court judge was there and gave a wonderful testimony. Just a brilliant... C3 Wellard did a fantastic job. When you see C3 Wellard, just say, you guys are just awesome. They really did rise, and David was there helping with the sound, and I know there was a few others, and just thank you. And Stephen and Unami doing a great job down there. Unami's actually up in Port Hedland. I got a call later in this week just to say, would I preach this morning? So is that okay?
Yeah.
So here I am. So Matthew 25, come with me. And actually, before we even do that, in fact, go to Matthew 25 and grab your card on your seat because this is very important. So this card is for August 22nd, which Helen has already said so well. And so we have a picture, actually, of one of our people over in the Philippines receiving a food parcel and some of our African kids. And so we do a faith promise. We write on this card. So if you're a couple, you're married, you talk about this together, and it's a 12-month promise. What is it? It's not just something that's just for 1 week, or this is a 12-month promise so that we can work in with our budget, with our salaries, and so we can give a certain amount over the next 12 months. So from 1st of September right through till the end of August the following year, that's how it works. So we support people. I'm not here to give up everything. That's going to be Stephen's job in the next week or two, but to tell you everything about Leap into Spring today. But let me just say, we support people in India, we support people in the Philippines, we support a school and everything, which I am going to talk a little bit about today, in Liberia. Stephen, we've supported local churches that have established. If you ever want to know anything, Steve, who was just up here, he more than welcome to share with you all the things that we do as our local and international support, which is Leap into Spring, LIS. Local and international support. Okay, so everyone clear on this? So when do we bring our card? Just so that for those of you, the 22nd of August, we bring our cards, and we have a basket which we bring to the front, which we put at the front, and we pop those in there. And the following week, we can share the good news of how much we're able to help with. And most years, it's been in the vicinity of $70,000-$80,000, and we want to thank you. Well, I want to thank you as the outgoing senior pastor, just of your generosity and gratefulness to God for all of you. All right, Matthew 25. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Be a champion sheep." Now, some of you might be thinking, "I don't want to be a sheep." I'm going to explain this passage. It's probably one of my favourites when it comes to Leap into Spring. And so when Stephen and Naomi gave me a call, like I said, I thought straight away of this scripture. And here we go. This is the New Living Translation. I'm going to read it to you. But when the Son of Man comes in His glory. So we're talking about, before I even get started, we're talking about when God comes back. When Jesus actually comes, and we all get judged by Jesus. Say yes. Yes. I didn't know that. Say I didn't know that. So we all have a time where we go, okay, you've been good, or it's not quite like that, but it's explained here in a great detail, really, by Jesus. It's a parable. You can miss it. It's about whether we enter into the kingdom of heaven or whether we don't quite. So who thinks that's important? And so I want to explain this a little bit. So when the Son of Man comes in all his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations, who knows, that's everyone. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on the right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world." Can we say verse 35 together? "For I was hungry and you fed me. I was and you. I was and I was and you gave me. I was sick. I was in prison." Okay. Verse 37, I'm going to give you the whole context today. "Then these righteous ones will reply, 'Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?'" These righteous ones have just said that. And this king will say, "I will tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it. You were doing it to me." I looked up the Message translation on this, and it says, instead of "the least of these," "those overlooked." Those overlooked. Verse 41, "Then the king will turn to those on the left, the goats, and say, 'Away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons, for I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me.'" Verse 44, "Then they will reply, 'Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you?' And he will answer, 'I tell you the truth. When you refused to help the least of these brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me.' And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life." Verse 34, "Then the king will say to those on his right," who'd like to be on the right? Who'd like to be a sheep? Can we be champion sheep? All right, so this is the message here. "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world." God's got a plan for his people. Now, this is the last of the three parables spoken by Jesus in this chapter. Matthew 25 is a great passage of scripture. And the first of the three parables is about the wise and foolish virgins. "And the foolish were not prepared for the bridegroom when he came, because they had not filled their lamps with oil. The five wise virgins went into be with the Lord Jesus, whilst the five had to go and get oil because they hadn't prepared enough, and the gates had been closed. And when they came back, Jesus said, 'I don't know you.'" Now, I want to explain that a little bit as we go along. But the second, before I finish this message, the second is about Christ giving certain amounts of money for them to steward. To look after until his return. Who knows that every single one of us in Australia gets something from, we're blessed. Whether we're on social security, whether we're a uni student, we get some kind of income. We have an amazing government, let alone those of us that are working. We all have something, and you have to see that God supplies and that He's blessing us. You've got to first understand that principle. Who understands that this morning? Fantastic. All right, and so Christ giving certain amounts of money for them to steward, to look after until His return. And it's a picture of you and I and what God has supplied to us in this world. Remember, there was a guy with the talents who had five, and then there was three, and then there was two, I think, and then one. And one of the guys just decided to bury everything in the ground and just wait for God to come back. And when Jesus returned, He said quite forthrightly, "You are cast into outer darkness, into hell." Why? The power of our relationship is in operating our faith in Him. Who'd like to be an operating faith type person? You cannot have and say that you are a Christian and believe God with all your heart and then do nothing with what God has supplied you with. We are blessed by our Father in heaven when we do His kingdom work on earth. We get to enjoy the benefits. Who's glad they're living in Perth, Western Australia? We get to enjoy the benefits of heaven when our time is up on this earth, because we are not in lockdown. We can be a blessing. Let's see what we do have. The world might have changed, but we can still be a blessing. Isn't that what Christ would want for us? And so, we are blessed when we do our the kingdom work that God asks us to do. We become Christ to people when we do our part in helping them with their needs. And so our Leap and Spring, our local international support, helps you and I stay focused on God's mission for our lives. And someone has to always lead us. Someone has to always say, you know, this challenge us that this is what the Word of God is saying for us to do. Can we be kingdom people today? And this next 12 months, on the 22nd of August, we bring our faith promise. No matter your income, didn't matter, it was just, he only had one bag, the steward. The other guys had five and three or two, whatever it was, I can't remember. I think it was two. Anyway, the point is, they did something while the one with the one, he could have done much more, but he just decided to do nothing. There shouldn't be a do-nothing person in this church. Now, because I've had this opportunity unexpectedly, first, the tithe belongs to God. Turn to your neighbour and say, the tithe belongs to God. So I'm talking above and beyond our tithe here. Please take a seat. Good to see Karen Cook in church. Next to my friend, who I've forgotten his name, from Puerto Rico, wasn't it? Good to see you back again. Noel, that's right. Good to see you, man. We'll talk after. So, the Pharisees asked Jesus, what are we talking about? The tithe belongs to? Tithe belongs to? Doesn't belong to me. The Pharisees asked Jesus if they should pay taxes. You ought to give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and you ought to give to God what is God's. If Jesus didn't want us to continue with the tithe because it was an Old Testament precept, he certainly didn't say so. Bring your tithe to? It's the Lord's. And then our regular giving displays the heart of God to our world. over and above giving. 2 Corinthians 8:7, as you abound in everything, as we abound in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, in love, abound in giving. And so, in Bible times, a shepherd, getting back to Matthew 25, would separate the sheep from the goats, and the goats would go into an enclosed area. Who knows that goats just simply don't get along with one another? Anyone had a goat? Or many? Who knows that they're trouble? They ruin everything. That's right. That's what they like. Whereas the sheep would be left in the open. They weren't confined. They weren't... You've seen enough sheep in your time. We live in Australia. You only have to drive 30 minutes away, you'll see plenty of sheep. And sheep were far more valuable on the farm than goats because of their usefulness. Can we be useful sheep? And two things we can learn from this statement Jesus made. A shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Sheep are of high value in his kingdom. And we should strive to be champion sheep. It's really good to be a sheep. Sheep are unconfined in their environment. They have the freedom to be all God intended them to be, and the freedom of heaven awaits his sheep. The restraints of hell await the goats. Goats are obstinate. They butt heads with one another. Sheep, on the other hand, tend to work together. Who's ever watched a sheepdog? Rounding up, what do? They're all together. Maybe there's the odd one, but he quickly gets them back into line again. And this is what this scripture is all about. We submit to God's values, not our own selfish desires. And who knows, at times that's a struggle. I'm going to give you an illustration about that in a minute. And therefore, when we choose to be part of Leap into Spring, can we be part of Leap into Spring this year? As we choose to be part of Leap into Spring, we are upholding the values of God. Our faith promise over the next 12-month period increases our value in the stocks of heaven. Are you hearing what Jesus is saying to us through this passage? And Jesus is saying that we cannot say we are his, we are Christian, and yet have very little or no impact for those that are overlooked. Luke 4:18, he has appointed me to preach the gospel to the... He has sent me to heal the broken, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to set free those who are oppressed. And so we uphold the values of Christ. Now, I want to give you some illustrations. I said I'm going to give you a bit of an overview. We do have, for those of you who may not understand our Leap into Spring program, or this is the first time you've ever heard about what we do for Leap into Spring, we simply call it Leap into Spring because who knows that by the end of August, normally we should see some sunshine. And we're happy about that. And so we've kind of done the whole theme of Leap into Spring around that, although they're saying that we're going to have a few more weeks, but it's coming to an end. We're all going to be happy about that one. It's the same principle for Leap into Spring. Now, we support generously an entire school and church. We help a number of churches in West Africa. There's a long story to that, which I don't have time to explain this morning, on why that occurred. We have a few West Africans here this morning. Good to see you. And the reason I'm saying this is simply because I want you to get an overview of the whole of Liberia this morning as I show these photos. So for you guys, I know that Liberia is a fantastic place. I've been there, as you know, many times. But I also know the other side. So I'm showing that today because I want us to get a real picture of how people live. Is that okay? So I'm conscious. I don't want to offend people here this morning. So here we go. All right. So the World Bank has some data on the percentage of people living in slums in Liberia. It's over 70%. Now, I've got a picture of a slum in Monrovia. So there's the kids walking past all the rubbish, and that this is kind of typical some of the buildings that are around in Liberia. They build them out of mud bricks, and so their market's actually right next to where that's fairly typical. And they put up a West Point in Africa. We know that's a really bad area. the guys are laughing. They know about it. Show us this picture. They put up a toilet block, the residents. That's their toilet block on the ocean front there. I'm giving you this picture because we don't really understand how other people live. And then there's this guy. This was reported in the New York Times recently, 2016. Now, he's actually carting water into West Point. And I've got a little story about him from the New York Times, which I've edited a little bit, which I'm going to share with you. This guy's name is Adolphus Darwin. And he spends his days pushing loads of water through West Point. That's that picture of the toilet block and what have you. And there's a whole community there of, you know, rambled shacks. This is what he said. You come here only to make business and go to a different community to live. That's what he said. Born and raised in West Point, a seaside slum with an estimated 75,000 residents, Mr. Darwin spends his days pushing wheelbarrows through the narrow alleyways that run along the rusty zinc shacks. His labour earns him about $7 a day, most of which he sends to his 16-year-old son in a rural town in northern Liberia. Outside of the towns, it's actually much more difficult to live and produce any kind of income. And so the slum is home to an array of ethnicities, religions and languages. And then they've got the problems of the tide. The New York Times talks about it. So I've got a picture here of some slums in Monrovia right on the beachfront. And lastly, our church, I think it is, in Painesville. Put that one up. Thanks, Ryan. There's our church in Liberia, which has now got a new roof. Not sure whose car that is because none of the guys have got a... anyway, there you go. So it's clean. There's no rubbish there. And they support an entire community, which is similar to what you've seen on the photos. Isn't it good to be a light in another country that has so much less than what we have? And so I'm grateful that we were able to do that. On those Filipinos, give me a wave here this morning. Who's a Filipino? Oh, there's quite a few of you. I missed some of you. Good. It's about 10 of you. So it is estimated, again, from statistics, that 20 million people live in slums in the Philippines. 1/10 of these live in the capital, where we support Ronel and Mary Lou. And thank the good Lord they're recovering, or Mary Lou's recovered, right, from her cancer, which is fantastic. And we are providing food every week through our support and their help and through C3. Every week, people, which as you can see on the card, we're giving food parcels to some of these people that are in the slum areas. And so the truth is, if we were not in C3 PSIG, we would not be celebrating with people in heaven that have come to the Lord through a food parcel. So whoever you are living in Australia, you can be a great blessing to someone else across the seas. And Jesus is describing that we are at our best when we are champion sheep. The most useful in his kingdom when we are helping those that are overlooked. Meeting needs, lifting people out from under their oppression. Andrew and I have it's more Andrea's friend than my friend. Seems to be a common theme with Andrew and I. Anyway, no, Andrea has a friend in the Philippines whom she stayed in contact with. I don't know if some of you would probably remember, Andrea spent, I think it was nearly 6 weeks in a critical situation in the church in C3 Manila, which probably would not exist if she hadn't have gone up there. And now there's other C3 people helping that church, and they're surviving. But they've only just gone back to church. It's been over 18 months without actually having a church service because of COVID. And so the young man and his father are entrepreneurs. The young man is friends with Andrew and myself. I've met him a few times, talked to him on the phone. And they have a thriving business. And his father was looking forward to passing on his inheritance or his business to his son. Because of COVID this last close to couple of years now, it's highly possible that they're going to lose everything. And pretty much everything they have worked for. And the father, through no fault of his own, is in this situation because of COVID. And we may not be able to help physically in some of these areas at the moment, but we can help with what we do have. This is what Leap into Spring is all about. And we can send money. We can do that. And our mission as a church is to love God, each other, and the community. And so our love for God must translate into love for one another. You cannot be a pew warmer who enjoys their seat this morning. You cannot sit in your seat. Be a pew warmer in the kingdom of God once you understand the gospel and what Jesus has done for you. Every one of us has gifts that we can use to build his church and to one another in the faith. Every one of us has something we can give. No exceptions. And we have a community locally and internationally that Jesus cares about. And I'm going to continue my little story about our friend over there in the Philippines in a minute. Jesus calls us goats when we desire to do our own thing. I know that I'm guilty of that. I'm sure if you're honest with yourself, you could say the same thing. Our future is limited, though, when we continue to act like goats. Our future is infinite. There is total freedom when we act like his sheep. We are not living for a moment here on earth. We are living for eternity. And so, can we shake off our ungrateful attitudes today? Can we shake off our negativity about some of the things that are going wrong? Can we shake off whatever it is that we're upset about and know that God's got something greater for our lives than ourselves? And the part I haven't told you yet about our friend in the Philippines, the entrepreneur, the young man, the son of the man that has established this multi-million dollar company, is that Andrea felt strongly to send some money to him. And I didn't want to. Well, not at first anyway. And I said to her, will you already give to Leap into Spring and to, you know, our story, our future, and all these other things. But God got me. I only had to look at this passage of scripture, really, but I hadn't looked at it at that time. But I want to say something this morning, because for those, especially those of you that are married here, I know that Andrea had heard from God. So did I actually need to hear from God? Not really. Because if Andrea heard from God and I'm married to her, we have to operate as one. And on top of that, we are to show love to those, especially of the Christian faith, the Bible says. And so I organised it. The money went. It actually got a bit complicated because the bank, well, our bank, thought it was fraudulent. So I had to persevere, but the money got there. And he rang Andrea, and he was so grateful because he wasn't expecting it. And it's not really like they really needed it. But the thing is, as Christians, we have to show love to those who may be overlooked. Can we get this generous spirit this morning, church? Because I know it doesn't come easy for me, and it probably doesn't come easy for any of us. And when we step out in God, when we say we are His and we do not act, Jesus says the more you risk, the more you'll reward. And many years ago, we started our missions program. We had about 50 adults in attendance, and it was around the year 2000. And we started helping one family who had moved to the border of China. And in those days, we were helping rehouse and reestablish child soldiers from neighbouring countries. It was successful. And today we have four thriving church locations in Liberia and another three in Sierra Leone. Churches we're helping in the Philippines, in India. I mean, it's amazing what God's done from a little bit. Can we continue the legacy as C3 Frio? And we've been in Fremantle now for over 25 years. And the word has gone out over and over. Hundreds have given their lives to Christ around our globe because of our help. Pastor Collie's got some stories up in Liberia. And there's some things that we simply have to keep chipping away at. We can be proud of Port Care. We can be proud of Charlie and Helen and the work. Just keep chipping away. There's a grace of God on you, Charlie. And you just keep chipping away and seeing a community change little by little. Can we continue to chip away and see our brothers and sisters overseas changed? And momentum came for us as a church around 7 years into our church. And we decided as a very small team that we should rent permanently an old supermarket, which is now a doctor's surgery on the corner of Hampton Road and Ray Avenue. And we needed to renovate the building. And long story short, as we're renovating the building, some of the family members that were at church invited their family, friends, and some of those stuck. The gospel is powerful. And I firmly believe that one of the reasons we did not extinct back in those early days is because we had a heart for those that were overlooked. A promise was given to Abraham, which represents all of us. All people on earth will be blessed through you. All peoples on earth will be blessed through, turn to your neighbor, blessed through you. So let me ask you a question. Can you say that of yourself today? And if you're not sure or you've got a negative disposition about what we're doing as our Leap in a Spring program, can we shake it off today? If you have opposition rising inside every time we talk about giving, may I suggest that you take authority over that feeling, because God wants you to be a blessing. This parable of Jesus about sheep and goats is meant to move us. And God is saying, do I really know you? I'd love to get to heaven and I see all of your faces, and God looks at all of us, and Jesus is there, and he says, well done, C3 Frio. Yeah? You were champion sheep. So I said that I'd finish in my 10 virgins story. We go back to Matthew 25, and Jesus tells of how 10 young men, women, were invited to a marriage feast. And 5 were wise and 5 were foolish, the Bible says. The five wise showed their wisdom by planning for the possible delay of the bridegroom. They took extra oil in their lamps. They were ready for him. The foolish women neglected to prepare, and they were extremely late to the reception because they had to go out and find oil, and it was, you know, close to midnight. And the doors were closed and they couldn't get in. They couldn't enter the marriage feast. They couldn't be with Christ. And we know too from the end of the chapter that Jesus had begun speaking into his kingdom, into coming back for his people. All 10 women had been given invitations. All 10 women were anticipating the occasion. All 10 had responded that they were attending the wedding. And despite their affection for the bridegroom, all 10 of them fell asleep. Who knows, that's you and me. We're keen, but then, oh. But suddenly when the bridegroom came, the similarities vanished because five had oil in their lamps and five were unprepared. We need to be ready for the bridegroom's return. And although all 10 appeared to be ready for his return, when he did actually appear, there was an immediate distinction. So let me ask you a question. How are you to know if you are in one camp or the other? It flows out from this parable and is continued by Jesus when he speaks of the final judgment and the real condition of the human heart. Matthew 25, 45, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, those who have been overlooked, you did not do it for me. So a few observations about the 10 virgins. All of the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the five foolish ones asked the others for some of their oil so that they could all go in together. Now, it might seem a bit harsh, but they said, no, we can't because we won't have enough. The life of the Lord Jesus Christ within us is not transferable. But then the others replies, we don't have enough for all of us. We cannot be saved by the life of Christ in another, by our parents, by a friend. We must have our own active faith in Christ. And the five wise virgins refusing to give oil to the five foolish may appear uncharitable, even selfish, but this story is moving on a high grade, much higher spiritual level. And on the day of Christ's return, each person must stand on his own. And the question begs, are you alive in Christ? Can we stand to our feet, church? Allow me to pray for you as I read one passage of scripture from this parable. Then the king will say to those on the right, can we be on the right, church? Can we be his champion sheep today, church? Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Lord, I pray today that we would be on the right side of the fence. I pray, Lord, as C3 Fremantle people, that we would take seriously the call of God on this church and on our lives to be a blessing to those who are overlooked. Help us today to be your champion sheep. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful rest of your weekend. Thank you.